Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
This morning, you know, as I was going and listening, you know, just listening on the inside, preparing for this message, I think it dovetails well with what we heard in the worship this morning, and with the message, you know, with what Brother Dennis shared. But we're going to go ahead and start in John chapter 10 and verse 9, and we're going to look at a few words of the Lord Jesus, and we're going to just get a heart, I believe, of a simple truth this morning. Again, this is not a regular message. This is kind of more of a semi, you know, kind of a semi-exhortation this morning. But go ahead and just open your hearts and just receive what God has for you. John 10, 9 through 11. Jesus said, "I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Praise God. That's what Easter is all about. The good shepherd gave his life for us. And as we look at Psalm 23, we see again that parallel concept where the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And as again, as Pastor Dennis was sharing this morning, you saw that picture. You see a picture of a shepherd's heart. Just the compassion and the love that he has for his sheep. And a big part of our going to share our faith and share our love and to share the love of Christ is when we know and are walking and experiencing the love of Christ ourselves. Have you ever noticed that? When you're walking and you're in fellowship with God, it's like it just comes out of you. And there is such a big part to play as it relates to evangelism, as it just relates to you. Knowing your shepherd. You know, if you're going to be a good salesman, saleswoman, you got to believe in the product. And when you're in intimate, wonderful, sweet fellowship with God, you know the product. You know him. You know his care and you know his compassion. It comes out. But the cool thing that I love about this verse right here, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." David didn't say, "The Lord is my mom and dad's shepherd. I shall not want." That's not good enough. If the Lord's just your mom and dad's shepherd. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." It's not the pastor's shepherd. It's not the church's shepherd. The Lord is my, he is my shepherd. And sometimes it's hard to imagine on a planet of 7+ billion people that anybody could have the capacity to have an individual, intimate concern. But we are dealing with God here. Jesus even went one further. Not only does he have the capacity for an intimate fellowship, but Jesus said he even knows the number of hairs on your head. What is he saying when he says that? Who cares about the number of hairs on your head? Your good shepherd does. Just because he cares about you. He's driving home a point. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it is important to realize that as we are going, growing in this experience from that day we believe, taking that first love like Jody was talking about, and not leaving, forsaking the first love, but it's that same love, that same grace, that same trust that we're taking with us through our whole walk, we're growing in that. It is important to realize the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. Not just your best friend's shepherd, not your favorite preacher, just your shepherd. this morning to realize that, to get a hold of it. I remember just kind of an interesting story. I went through Rhema, and one of the stories that Pastor Hagen shares is, you know, having your dad as Kenneth Hagen, kind of one of a little fringe benefit is you can kind of run to him to receive healing, and, you know, he knows how to get a hold of the Lord and believe God and receive for healing. And that was always a kind of a perk he enjoyed, as being the son of Kenneth Hagen. But there was one day when he came to his dad and asked, he had some fungus infection in his ear, and said, you know, Dad, can you pray for me for healing? And they went down, they got down to pray, and the Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagen, and he said, no. He said, I do not want you to pray for your son for healing. He said, he is going to pray for his own healing and to receive his own healing today. You know, as parents, you're training your children up, you know, ultimately to be able to live and to walk and to function and to be able to understand, to get, receive things on their own. And that's no different spiritually. And what Kenneth Hagen told his son, Pastor Hagen, you know, at the time they were, I don't know how old Pastor Hagen was, maybe 12, 13, young guy. And he just said, no, son, you're going to pray, and I'm going to scotch for you. In other words, I'll be your amen corner. I'll cheer you on. I'll amen you. I'll be there to support, but you are going to pray. You're going to believe. Thank God for people that we love, that we respect, that we look up to. But God does not want us to have a vicarious relationship with him through people. It's great to have training wheels, but at some point those training wheels come off and you realize the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. It can be very lonely if you don't realize that he is your shepherd. If he's somebody else's shepherd, that doesn't comfort me. He needs to be my shepherd. This morning, again, just kind of exhort along some simple lines this morning, the fact that the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. Like we said, one of the big things, first foundational mission part of who we are, is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. A love that reaches out to the world, a love that reaches in to the body of Christ. People who know that they're loved by God. I am amazed, as I have to look back, some of the most powerful evangelists in the world are people who just get born again. It's amazing how that first love just causes them. They don't have all the, spiritual baggage yet in some areas, and they just don't know any better. They just know God loves them, God saves them, grace is God is real, and they just go out and tell people, their friends, their family, get people saved. There is nothing quite as powerful and impactful as you knowing, believing the love of God for yourself. Realizing, number one, the Lord is your shepherd. We're going to kind of walk through just a few step-by-step on that 23rd Psalm. The Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Again, Psalm 23, 2a. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Matthew 11 puts it this way. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples at the time. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord is your shepherd. And what does he say? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to exhort you this morning. If you're heavy laden, you can find rest for your soul. He will make you lie down in green pastures. The amazing thing about this is he doesn't ask the question, why are you heavy laden? What did you do to become heavy laden? What happened? No inquiring minds here. He just says, heavy laden, you qualify. Isn't that good to know? So no matter what part of the heavy ladenness is my direct responsibility, it's irrelevant. Are you heavy laden? Got something for you. There's rest for your souls. I'm here. I am your good shepherd. I am here for you. There is a place of rest for your soul. Another place, this is the Message Bible, same passage. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Praise God. The Lord is your shepherd. And as we're looking at this morning, it's important to realize that we don't by nature want to lie down. We by nature want to stand up. We by nature want to lean to our own understanding. It takes faith. It takes trust. It is trust to look to Him. The Lord is He is no one's shepherd on this planet of 7 billion people or whoever's ever lived any more than He is your shepherd. He is your shepherd. If you have a good doctor who's your doctor, or a good lawyer who's your lawyer, or whoever that would be that's yours, you have a good shepherd. He is your shepherd. I want that to sink in on you this morning. The Lord is your shepherd. He's not religion. He's not a duty. He's not a Sunday morning thing that we do. We gather together. We assemble ourselves to be fed, blessed, to be encouraged. But at the end of the day, the Lord is my shepherd. And when I leave this place and I'm driving in my car, the Lord is my shepherd. He is with me. He is for me. Another great passage right along these lines. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 puts it this way. It says, seeing then we have a great high priest who is passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we don't have a high priest who cannot be sympathized with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here again, this is a picture of what we call the throne of grace. The throne of grace, the green pastures, it's the exact same place. There is mercy and grace to help in time of need. Now, here again, no qualifiers. Do you need mercy? Come boldly. You know, if you need mercy, you probably had a part to play in your heavy ladenness. But he says, come boldly to receive mercy. In other words, there's nothing to work through. In our Christianity, we're working through things. We got our points. Just come boldly. Heavy laden, come. But I got to do A, B, C, D. No, you can just come. You know, it's an amazing thing how we'll freely share with the unbeliever, just come to Jesus. And what's their resistance? A lot of times, people who don't know better, they'll try to religiously think that they got to get their lives cleaned up before they can come to God. We say, no, 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 you can't do it that way. You just got to come to God as you are. He'll clean you up later. Well, while we're in the cleanup process, it's the same thing. We just got to come boldly as we are. Because who's the finisher of your faith ultimately anyway? It's not you. Jesus is the author, and he's the finisher. He's the one who began this good work, and he's the one who's completing in it. He's the one who's working in you to will and to do. Your job is to yield. And that's where you do your yielding. And you come boldly before the throne of grace. I don't need a 5-step program to get to the throne. I am there right now by faith. Father God, I need help now. Ouch. I'm in pain. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. Lord, I have a passion and compassion for situations, people, things. I don't know what to do. Lord, here I am. I need mercy and grace to help in my time of need. The Lord is your shepherd. That's your throne. Those green pastures are yours. Those green pastures are his couch that you lie down in and talk to him. And he talks to you. The Lord is your shepherd. This isn't a place that you get to spiritually and then I graduate into the green pastures. No. No matter how heavy laden, no matter how dark it is, the Lord is your shepherd. Those green pastures are yours. Do you need mercy and grace? Come boldly. The time is now. The time is now. The time is now. The Lord is your shepherd now. He is yours. He loves you. He cares for you. And we looked last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, just about how you're worth more than birds. You're worth more than pigs. You're worth more than all these things. Jesus said very explicitly, you are precious to him. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He goes on to say, now, point two, lie down in the green pastures. Number two, look out at his still waters. That's just Psalm 23, 2b. He leads me beside the still waters. In other words, the first things first, you need to lie down. Again, maybe it's, especially guys, we're very much fix-it oriented. You know, maybe it's hard to get directions, it's hard to stop and listen. It's like that's not productive, it's not being productive. But in the ways of God, you can just quiet, stop, lie down, and be productive. There's a neat song, a line out of a song. Whitney, do you remember what it said?
You can do more in my waiting than my doing I can do.
Okay, yeah. There's a song that goes, Lord, you can do more in my waiting than I can do in my doing. Something like along those lines. Anyway, there's a time where you've got to just lie down and just rest in the Lord. And that's where Jesus said, he said, come unto me, you who are heavy laden. He didn't say, and I will give you the answers to all your questions. He said, no, you'll find rest for your souls. And as you come before him, he'll lead you, not only make you lie down in the green pastures, but he'll lead you beside the still waters. Now, the opposite of still waters would be tumultuous waters that are loud and crashing and dramatic. But he depicts his place as a place of still waters. Here's a picture of still waters. In other words, this is the way Jesus puts it. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I love that. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me, he is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. This is wonderful. So, as you see yourself at the throne room in the green pastures, you can also see yourself in a great big hand. His hand. And no one can snatch you from his hand. Jesus is giving us a picture of the safe place that God is for us. He knows what you've been working on. He knows how many times you failed and gotten up and failed and gotten up and failed. But I'll tell you what. At the time you're ready to give up on yourself, his patience hasn't even begun. You know, the first thing about love, we say love. What is love? The first definition of love, 1 Corinthians 13, suffers long and is kind. Do you know God suffers long with you and he's kind to you? You got to see that. You got to see a hand that you're in, a hand that you can't be snatched out of. Green pastures, a throne of grace, the Lord is your shepherd. But what is he talking about here? We're talking about still waters. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Now, this is an interesting thing. He didn't just say, my sheep know my theology. He said, my sheep know my voice. Theology is important. You judge things, gauge things by what the Word of God says. But there's a voice behind his words, the way he talks. James gives us a beautiful picture of his voice. It says, the wisdom that is from above, in other words, when he talks to you, it's going to sound like this. It's first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is the sound of still waters. This is the sound of his voice. You know, when you hear something, there's two elements to it. There's the sound, and then there's the content of what's being said. Both are important. The sound of what's being said and what's being said. But as you're listening to his voice and he's leading you beside the still waters, it's going to be still. It's going to be pure. It's going to be peaceable. What did Jesus say? My yoke is easy. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me. You'll find rest for your souls. So what am I saying? Okay, I got to the green pastures. I'm lying down. Now there's still waters. He's going to speak. He is going to whisper those promptings of the Holy Spirit in a way that is pure, peaceable, and gentle. There's nothing more frustrating than getting something in your heart and your mind, and it seems true, and it's right, and it's stirring you up, and it's making you mad and angry, and Well, I know one thing about that. The voice isn't right. It's not his voice. He doesn't talk that way. In fact, the verse before that says, if you have strife and bitter envy in your heart, glory not. That anger, hatred, rage, it comes not from above. You're not getting a revelation from God. That's connecting the dots to make you see it, and it's just driving you crazy. That's not what God's revelation alludes. He says that's earthly, sensual, and demonic. The wisdom that is from above, the voice that is his voice, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's full of mercy and good fruits. This is the quality. This is the sound of God's voice. Finally, let him restore your soul. Let him restore your soul. Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. Psalm 95 is a wonderful passage. It says, oh, and this is actually referenced again in the book of Hebrews. It says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. The third point is this, let him restore your soul. Let him restore your soul. I'm lying down, he's talking to me. When you hear his voice, it's decision time. You can hear that voice and say, oh, that's right. And you got a choice. You can harden your heart, or you can hear what he has to say. You can act on what he has to say. You can do what he's telling you to do. Harden not your hearts. This is this place, the restoration of your soul, this is where a lot of times the fellowship, the dialogue, the talking takes place. If you're heavy laden, there is a reason for being heavy laden. Again, it could be guilt, fear, a variety of things. But it's in this place of fellowship right here. The Lord is your shepherd. He is your counselor. He is your therapist. He is the one that you can talk to. You can air out everything in your heart. When the throne of grace becomes a real place, and you can just talk it out. Like we've said before, I can think about something all day long, every day. But until I've prayed about it, I haven't prayed about it. I haven't talked to him. And that's where the grace comes. Here's the beautiful passage. Here's what happens. Philippians 4 shows us this way. He says, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian church. And this isn't true because they were Philippians. This is true because they were believers. And it belongs to us as well, too. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And this is what we do in those green pastures right here. I don't need a five-step program to get there. I'm there. I come boldly. I'm there by faith now. And I'm talking from my heart. This is quite a statement. Be anxious for nothing. I'm glad that's a comma there and not a period. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In other words, God knows that pressure's on you. He just wants you to pass it through. Pass it through on to him. Take the questions you don't know and voice it out. Take the frustrations, whatever you have, let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. I love that. God, I need your help. God, how do I forgive this? I know your love's been shed abroad in my heart, but it's just, I'm having a hard time with this. How can I do this? Lord, I thank you. You love me. You care for me. That's all right. What do you get when you throw up those answers? Lord, why did this happen? Why did they do that? That's our part. He doesn't, and then he goes on to say, no, what you get isn't going to be the answer to your question, but you do get something. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is he talking about? Peace in your heart, peace in your mind. This is the restoring of your soul. How do you let God restore your soul? By letting your request be made known unto him. And he'll restore your soul. What do you get in exchange for your request? You get peace. Like I said, I don't care if you've worried about it 24/7 for 7 years. If you haven't prayed about it, you haven't prayed about it. It doesn't matter how close and intimate you are with it. You got to pray. You got to pray. That's, again, one of the weaknesses of human beings. Remember the story of Naaman the leper. He went to, I think it was Elijah for healing. Might have been Elijah. I can't remember which one. But it was a deal where he said, come on out, man. You know, I thought, you know, I want to get healed. And he told him, yeah, go dip in the river 7 times. He was offended. He was mad. Come on, I thought the man of God would come out, wave his hand, do something dramatic. That's what we just look for. Doing something menial like that. And that's why we just can't see the forest through the trees sometimes. Got to stop and think, have I prayed about this? No, have I really prayed about it? Have I really, on purpose, laid down on his couch, looked up at him in the palm of his hand and said, Lord, help me. Lord, I acknowledge you. It's when we acknowledge him that he can direct our paths. And then finally the follow through, whatever things are true, noble, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You start out with anxious and you end up with true, noble, just, pure. This is another part that you have to play though, right? Setting your mind on those things. In other words, stay in the green pastures. He'll speak to you. Another great passage of scripture kind of says the same thing here too. Let's see here. Not sure what I'm... Might need a... Maybe I just... I'm at a disc. Oh, okay, good. Good, good. 1 Peter 5:6-7, therefore humble yourselves into the mighty hand of God. How do you do that? That he may exalt you in good time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. We're talking about here the restoring of your soul. The Lord is your shepherd. He is a real person. And when you're praying, you're praying to a real person. You take it by faith. Now, when your spirit leaves your body in the third heaven, you'll see him. It's not a religion. It's a reality. Spiritual things are real. And when you go before that real throne of grace and you talk to a real, not throwing up a prayer and seeing what, you're talking to a person, saying, Lord, I cast this care over on you. There's things I know and there's things I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what, it's amazing what you already know. You would be amazed at some of the things you already know. And a lot of times when we get into these places, we feel like, if I could get the answer, then I'm going to get peace. No. Peace comes in the fellowship. The answer will come later. There's a peace that passes your understanding. We feel like we've got to have the understanding first so that you can have the peace. No, the peace goes out ahead of the understanding. You can have peace before you understand? Yeah, that's the way it works with him. That's his ways. And when that's your ways, it's very difficult for the enemy to work on you. I like something Kenneth Hagin would say, if the enemy can get you in the arena of reason, he'll whip you every time. If you keep him in the arena of faith, you'll whip him every time. The just shall live by faith. You're going to walk by faith. You're going to lean not to your own understanding. This is a safe place. These are green pastures. This is where I go, Lord, praise God. I don't know, but I know some things for sure. I know that you will never leave me or forsake me. I know there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I know you haven't given me a spirit of fear. I know these things are true. I know these things are real. There's a lot of things I don't know, but there's some things I know. And I'm telling you what, one of the greatest, most powerful spiritual forces in all the world is thankfulness. A victim complex and thankfulness are polar opposites. And when you're hurt, you're beat up, and you're angry and frustrated, God will turn that heart into a thankful heart. I let my request be made known with thanksgiving. It forces your heart to turn up that fist into a hand of praise and say, God, I trust you. You're my God. I trust you. I trust you. You're doing that by faith. I don't need a five-step. I'm there. He's my shepherd. He is mine. And I declare, Father, I need your grace. I need your help. And with thanksgiving, I let my request be made known unto you. I don't get it all. I don't understand everything. But thank God for the things that I do know. Praise God. I heard a great little poem once to me that really captures the essence of what we're talking about. It's simply called Faithful. I'll be faithful with the little bit I know. Because in the faithfulness I show is where I'm sure to grow. I'm sure I cannot know it all. And the things I need to know, they may seem little, they may seem small, but I'm glad because they're mine to know. I'm done longing for more answers. I will let my questions go. Because I'm not obligated to what I don't have, but I'm accountable for what I know. So no matter what I do, I will not lie against the truth. Because there are too many questions I don't have to be taking for granted the ones that I do. You have answers right now. And it's the stuff you know. And it's those promises you hold up and you look to. And you declare, what you know is where you're going to grow. When you focus and feed on what you know, it will sustain you. It'll nourish you. It'll mature you, strengthen you. And thank God, the answers to the questions you don't know, there's no obligation to have to know them. The Bible says, all things are naked and open before him. He knows what I know, and he knows what I don't know. God is not putting any pressure on you to know something you don't know. Your curiosity may be putting that pressure on you. Fear may be putting that pressure on you. But God is not burdening you with that pressure for something you don't know. You lie down in those green pastures because he has the answer. He's not quizzing you to see if you're going to get it right. You're opening up your heart and saying, Lord, I let my request be made known unto you. You have the answer. I need it. Show me. Develop my faith. Perfect it. Make it real. There is no pressure on you whatsoever coming on me to have to know. The only thing you ask of me is to ask you. And so that's what I'm here to do. The Lord is your shepherd. And again, this passage in closing, Message puts it this way. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. The Lord is your shepherd. Praise God. This morning, I just sensed that word. That word. He's not a theology we're serving. He is your shepherd. And when that love shines in and through you, the world will see your good works and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. There is nothing that's quite so testifying to a dark world we live in to see a Christian who loves God and is at peace. Don't have all the answers. They have a peace that passes their understanding, and there's joy. That's the thing that makes people want what you got. Not that you have all the answers, but you got the peace that passes your understanding. Nobody down here has all the answers. But if you got the peace that passes you, if you know how to get to that throne of grace, praise God. That's it. The Lord is your shepherd, though. He wants to counsel you. He wants to speak good things in your heart. So Jesus said, go to the secret place, just you and God. He'll reward you openly. But let him speak to your heart. Let's have faith. Yeah, it's great to have faith for finances. It's great to have faith for healing. It's great. But let's have faith in the pasture. Let's have faith in the throne of grace. Let's have faith that he's right there now to talk to us, to commune with us. And a lot of times in those green pastures, there's a healing that'll take place. It's not a drive-through fix. You get to like those green pastures. Look forward to those green pastures. And there's healing in them. There's answers. There's peace. There's getting to know Him. Securing your heart in Him. Spiritual things are real. God is a spirit. He is real. He loves you. He's your shepherd. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We are grateful this morning for the simple fact that you are our shepherd. Thank God you may be mom or dad shepherd or whoever else is shepherd, but Lord, you are my shepherd. You long to talk one-on-one with me. You long to lead and guide me into all truth through the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you're there for me. Thank you that there's nothing left to do but simply come. Come unto me. Come boldly to the throne of grace. It's there, it's now. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, you are my shepherd. You are a safe place. You love me. You know exactly where I'm at. You know my struggles, my rebellions, my frustrations. You love me. I believe that love today. I come boldly. I don't work my way there. I'm just there because Jesus bought that way through the blood. Jesus, I love you. I trust you with the issues of my life. I trust you with my hurts. I trust you with my questions. There is healing in your green pastures. There's a voice of still waters that speaks to my heart. That I find the truth. That truth makes me free. I trust you, Jesus. Be my good shepherd. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. Today is the day I believe the gospel. I believe my sins were on that cross. Everything I ever did, paid for. I receive that gift now. I call you my Lord, my good shepherd. Come into my heart and have your way all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.